Welcome, everyone. It's a few minutes after 7 for the coaching call for Tuesday.
I'm sorry, Dern.
Okay. And this is September 7th. This is John Balkendorf. I'm leading the call and bringing the coaching message. And this is a message that was actually birthed in a prophetic word the Lord gave me that I took to heart. And the goodness is that I'll be able to share some outcomes from the word personally. I have shared this word before, but probably none of you on the call heard it, and I've shared it in several settings, including our men's group that I lead the teaching on here in Melbourne, Florida, where Nancy and I are based. So the title I put on the message was Finish Well, and it's a word the Lord actually gave me on January 27th, 2018. And, you know, there's a number of times when the Lord speaks to you and gives you things, and it falls into classic category, as in, you know, this is something that has a lifetime impact. And I'll remember it not only in wanting to share it with others, but also wanting to remember how God has used it to change my life. So let me share with you the word as I received it. And the normal way I typically receive a word is the Lord gives me a phrase or an image to start. And I say that's to start. And I know that I need to start writing. And so I will typically write out the word. And so this is the word as written. And, you know, then I go back and I proofread and I review it and I try and make sure that it's, you know, contextually correct, doesn't violate any scripture references that I know of, and you know, has a cohesive theme and thought to it. And when I was receiving this word, I knew immediately a pastor that I was called to share it with in our congregation, and so I chose to do that. But I felt like the word had much broader application than that. And I also always recognize that I embrace the word. If the Lord uses me as a vessel to share the word through, I say this word is for me, first of all, and it's for others, possibly secondary to that. So as that is a prelude to it, the words the Lord gave me is, I saw before you several locked doors, and in your hand is a ring of keys. There are no labels or windows on the doors, so you're not aware of what is on the other side of each door. The Lord says, open and enter with faith, for to remain where you are invites the enemy to torment and light fires under you. Do not be overwhelmed by the tides and fires of life. Far better to open the doors and enter the fire of the Lord. An exclamation point. Let me say that again. Far better to open the doors and enter the fire of the Lord. These are doors of revival, doors of cleansing, doors of healing, doors of provision, and doors of multi-generation impacts. Now is the time to open and enter, for you are mine. Will you receive all the Lord has for you? Finish well. Finish well. Well, there's quite a number of elements in that word in just those few sentences. The first thing that catches me is the fact that these doors are locked. These are not open doors. These are doors that are locked. And since there's no windows on the doors, you don't know what's on the other side. So the only way to know what's on the other side is through spiritual discernment and for the Lord to lead you to unlock the doors, because you're not going to be able to fully understand what's on the other side until that happens. And so the interesting thing is you're opening and entering with faith. And, you know, I even challenge myself with faith. Have I totally understood what that means? You know, that it takes faith to open these doors, because it's not by sight, but it's by faith. And then it went on to say that, you know, it's actually beneficial to open and enter, because if you don't, you're in enemy territory, the enemy has a desire to torment you and light fires under you. So, you know, it might motivate you, but it might also burn and be painful. So, but then again, entering, you're entering the fire of the Lord. And so, you know, you're going to, some things are going to be consumed regardless of whether you wait it out or whether you enter. But just know that it's better to be in the fire of the Lord. And then these five doors: revival, cleansing, healing, provision, and multi-generation impacts. You know, I thought it was really key on those. You know, there's a lot of folks who are really anxious for revival, and that, but until God gives us permission to open the door of revival and enter into it, you know, revival isn't going to happen. I guess that's the simplest way to say it. We can't cleanse or heal ourselves without the cleansing and healing work of the Lord. It's not possible in our own strength. And same thing with provision. You know, God is our provider, and we trust Him in that. But, you know, at times He allows us to open doors with that behind it. And then this multi-generation impacts has been a word that has really hit me probably the strongest of these five, and at least for the now sense of this word, because as we are at different points in our lives, you know, there's folks that are, you know, younger than us, folks that are older than us. But in this case, you know, I'm 67 right now, and when I got this word, I was 65. And so, you know, it was really a case of I was in the moving into the senior citizen category, shall we say. And so multi-generation impacts, you know, I think in terms of the young, middle career, middle age, and also the older folks, you know, there's at least three, if not four or more generations of people living on the earth right now, and we're called to have impact across all those generations. And how does God want to do that? And yet the word says, now is the time to open and enter, for you are mine. You know, we're part of a family. We're part of God's plan. He's given us an opportunity to open and enter, and we need to take advantage of. And He says, will you receive all the Lord has for you? And finish well, finish well. I've especially read a number of articles or seen a number of things since I wrote this about folks that are getting into their senior years who feel distraught, who are concerned that have I done all the Lord has wanted me to do or asked me to do? Have I accomplished all the soul winning, all the other activities that I'm called to do? You know, have I run the race well? All those kinds of things, and this whole call to finish well has resonated. And men from our men's group, you know, several of them remind me about how much that word finish well impacted them. And it's good to see that, and I one of them recently who was just not sure what he was called to do. He's up in his 70s. And he recently, him and his wife stepped into a leadership to launch a new home group at our church. And the previous home group leader, you know, we'd been a part of that home group, both that couple and Nancy and I and a number of other folks. And of course, I sought the Lord whether I was supposed to launch a home group to shall we say, fill the void that was created when this other gentleman passed away who was leading the group. And I sensed that I wasn't. And this other gentleman, he stepped into the role, and he's doing excellent with it. And it has really given him a new sense of purpose in his senior years to do that. So, you know, we need to know, you know, what doors God wants us to open. And one person asked me, he says, John, you've got this ring of keys. How do you know which key will open the door? And I said, well, you know, I think it's probably simple. You know, we have at our disposal a ring of the master keys, the keys of the master. And so any key will do. It's merely we have to exercise our faith to believe that this is in fact a door that God wants us to walk through and just pick a key and insert it. And so, you know, I think there's some, I call them non-negotiables to finish well. And we'll go over those with some scripture references. And the first one I put down is, I think a non-negotiable is that we have a radical love commitment to Jesus as Lord and doing the will of the Father. You know, Matthew 7:21 in the NLT says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And, you know, that should scare the pants off of you, as they might say, or cause you to be really, really circumspect in that, because, wow, you know, there's a lot more to this Christian walk than just saying, Lord, Lord. There's actually a requirement that we do the will of the Father. And so we have to have a depth of relationship that can allow us to know God's will for us. A second area is an authentic love relationships. Life shared in meaningful friendship with other Christ followers. You know, this is, Christianity is not a hermit or solo religion. It's a religion, and a Christianity is based on relationships, not only relationships with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also relationships with other followers and brotherhood and sisterhood. And so this is just a really critical thing. Acts 2:42 to 47 talks about this. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All this while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So, you know, this was a radical time of change of literally what community meant to these people. This wasn't a practice they had done before. And so they were building relationships in the quick, shall we say. by literally cohabiting and being together in a tremendous amount of time. It wasn't just going to church on Sunday once a week. And Psalms 68:6 says, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So, you know, whether you're married or single or whatever, God places people into extended family fellowship relationships so that they can be set free, but also to have great joy in that. So there's a lot to this authentic love relationships. The third area is the importance of the home. It should be our top priority, and the centrality of marriage and family provides checks and balances. And Mark 3:24 and 25 says, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. So it's really important that we have family unity, family oneness, family connectedness. Yes, I know that sometimes that doesn't exactly work out the way, you know, we intend it to be, and there's times when singleness is there, but that's where the body of Christ becomes an extended family that really can, you know, fill that gap in people's lives. And we see that even in our men's group, where a number of the men, their spouses are, you know, have already passed, or they're divorced, or in one case, one gentleman was married to a Filipino lady, and she was visiting family in the Philippines, and she was literally stuck over in the Philippines and could not get out of the country for almost a year, and because of COVID. And so, you know, his extended family was, among other things, the men in the group to be connected with and care for and have relationship with. Number four is Christ-like character. And I put down faithfulness that glorifies God with endurance. James 1:2-4 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So this Christ-like character, you know, none of us really want to have to deal with troubles, and nobody asks necessarily God for endurance and things necessarily, but we definitely ask for things like joy. And so when we face these problems with endurance, it's an opportunity for great joy. And you know, as joy is not just happiness. You know, all true joy is based on the Lord. It's from the Lord. It is an attribute of God Himself, is joy. So when people in the world use the word joy, they're more than likely using the word happiness is really what they should be using as a term, because joy is not just happiness. It's having truly God's joy, His pleasure within you, in a measure that only we as Christians can truly experience. Number five is bearing fruit that remains. Fruit that remains, it's a achievement, not just activity. You know, many times people, you know, they even do things like put it on their resume. They'll say, you know, we made 500 customer contacts or in a day, or you know, whatever else. That's activity. But if you can say we converted out of 500 contacts, 100 sales, and out of those 100 sales, we had $2 million in revenue, and of that $2 million in revenue, we had $500,000 in profit, then that's an achievement. You know, it isn't just an effort, it's an achievement. And I think that's what we need to focus on. It's not just a matter of how many people today did I talk to about Christ, or how many people did I say, God bless you. Not that blessing people is bad, but really God's about bearing fruit. And if he's about bearing fruit, then it's about, you know, accomplishing it. Now, I understand the scripture where it talks some plant, some water, some weed, some harvest. You know, you can use as many different analogies in there as you like, and there's scripture to support that. But at the same time, you know, we need to be conscious of the fact that God wants us to be fruit-focused. And so we need to ask the Lord, what does that look like in my life, and how does that, you know, materialize? You know, some people are called to prison ministry. Some people are called to work in a restaurant as a waitress, just so they'll have lots of contact with people and show the love of Christ. You know, some people are called to be psychologists or psychiatrists. Some are called to be pastors, you know, evangelists, different things. Some are called to be engineers and to do that with excellence for Christ. So we need to determine in what context does God call us to bear fruit. And John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." So there's lasting fruit that God desires. And part of that lasting fruit is this multi-generational impact. You know, I look at a gentleman, his name is Brooks. He now, by the way, in July just turned 96. And this gentleman was an elder in our church, and he was like a father to me, and filled a lot of the gaps that my own earthly father did not didn't do a great job of. And so I'm very grateful to him, and told him so, of the areas that he represented a godly example of what a man was to be, and you know, his wife became paralyzed, and so he asked one of his daughters who had a flexible schedule to come and to live with him, so that she could care for their mom. It was like over 10 years she was pretty much bedridden and paralyzed. And you know, he went through that back in his 70s into his 80s. And you know, he's now 86, and he's still a man of God, and I have a lot of thankfulness and respect for him. But he imparted things into my life, and did things with me, including scuba diving and flying to places like the Bahamas and other things like that. That was really meaningful and special. But there's all kinds of opportunities we each have. I pretty much want to open things up to discussion. I've shared a lot with you about finishing well, and about the call of God on our lives to have generation impact, and the opportunity to open doors. Now, so let me just briefly share one door opening that happened. This prophetic word happened in January 27th, 2018, and it was in about April, so about 3 months later. I get a call from, I believe it was Erica Robinson, and she said, "John," she said, you know, "we've gotten to know you and everything a bit, and we want to see if there's an interest on your part in potentially being ordained with Morningstar Ministries." Is that something you would consider? And so, so less than 3 months after that word, I'm in this process of looking at this potential door opening before me and to having to assess it. Now, I still have to do all my due diligence. You know, I have to understand what's required. You know, there's forms to fill out, there's references to get, there's all these things. But even before that, I have to spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, is this your will? Is this your will for now? And, you know, if you're so inclined, would you kind of give me some hints and share with me, you know, why you want me to do this? And so I got a green light from the Lord. And, you know, he shared with me, he says, John, I want you to do this because it's going to open doors that would not be able to be opened any other way. So in this case, my being ordained was in fact handing me a key from the Master that would now open other doors that may have been closed to me otherwise. Well, fast forward about a year, and I was talking to leadership at the local university, and they were involved with, you know, the business development of the university and that. And as I was sharing with him, I was telling him where I was at and spiritually. He says, John, I'd like to have you meet, you know, somebody. And then COVID hit. And so after one meeting, everything got put on hold for a little over a year, year and a quarter. And then finally I had a meeting and then another meeting. And then eventually I was able to connect with Protestant Campus Ministry board. And the board accepted me to join the board after over 2 years of being in process to try and do this and connect to be able to have an influence to minister at our local university campus. So I share that with you because some things, it seems like it comes almost immediately in a matter of days, weeks, months, and other things, it's actually in flight for several years as things are developing. So, you know, those are two examples I wanted to share with you. So opening things up for the floor, again, if you have a, introduce yourself, what your name is and what your questions are, we'll have some discussion on those. No questions? Feedback? Okay, you're a quiet audience tonight. If anybody's talking, I can't hear them, so you might be muted on your side.
So I have a little feedback. Can you hear me?
Yep. Who's this?
Okay. Kathy Ritchie. I'm in New Bern, North Carolina, and hi. Appreciate the wisdom and the, you know, of course, the prophetic. And, you know, we're never done for the Lord. You know, that's just what's kind of neat as I am looking at retirement, not too far, you know, down the road a bit. But, and I really shouldn't say retirement. I don't mean retirement, but just, you know, that when you hit the certain age, because you'll never retire on the Lord. But it's just good to hear. And as long as we're walking on this earth, he has plans for us to fulfill. So I appreciate the information. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. And in fact, you know, I don't actually call it retirement for myself. I actually call it refirement.
Yeah, and that's why I got to get rid of that word.
So I labeled it requirement because it was like, what does God have for me for the second half of life?
Yeah,
no matter
amen.
How long that second half is, But there's the second half of life when you're no longer having to earn a living, but you have time schedule and potentially resource flexibility to do some things that you weren't able to do before.
Amen.
So that's a whole other message.
Thank you. Yes, I'm getting rid of retirement because you're right, retirement, because we'll always be, if we're serving the Lord, we have a purpose when we're still here. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for your making a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Okay, well, we're actually 7:36, so we went a little over 30 minutes since we waited about 5 minutes for the, in case there was anybody on the Zoom call that we did last month. And so thank you, everybody, for participating. And, you know, God bless. And let me just close everything out in prayer. Father, we just understand that you are Lord and you are Lord of all. And, Lord, this call to finish well is something which we all embrace, no matter what age or state we're in. But we also, Lord, we submit ourselves to you that that might be accomplished in us and through us. Lord, that each of these doors that you have us to go through, whether they be the five that you gave me or they may be slightly different doors that others are having to go through, Lord, that you would give them the master keys that they need to go through those doors, and that with faith they would enter as you give them permission to enter. Lord, we're not presumptuous that we just barge in, but we're circumspect and go through the checks and balances to make sure that it's the door you want us to go through, it's the time for us to go through that door, and the fact that we're fully equipped to go through that door because you prepared us as only you can. And we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, let there be an opportunity for us all to finish well, finish either the assignments that we have today or finish well in the life on this earth as we go on to eternity and what you have for us then. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the privilege to walk with you hand in hand. We thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us and leading and guiding us. And Lord, I ask for more of the Spirit for each one on this call, that they would be fully, fully drenched in your presence, that there would be nothing lacking but the fullness of your presence to lead and guide and direct. And Holy Spirit, we honor you and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we are seated in heavenly places with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, wow, isn't that a fantastic place to be? And thank you for that opportunity. And we'll treat our life as if we truly are seated with you in heavenly places. And thank you for that opportunity. May there be a visitation for everyone on this call from you, Lord.
Yes.
Confirming and affirming all that you have for them.
Yes.
There would be no lack, full provision, full resourcing of all that you have for them. Lord, that there would be health and wholeness.
Yes.
Healing and cleansing. And that, Lord, we, as you prepare us to enter into revival, that we would be ready, that we would not miss it. That there would be truly awakening revival happen across our communities. We say yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for participating, and we'll have something new for next week. So be blessed, and
thank you.
And, And thank you. And Victoria, you're going to close up the recording?
Yes, I will.
Thanks. Same time, same place next week.
Have a blessed week, everyone. Thank you.
You too. God bless.
You too. Bye.